Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Good. Good morning. Good to see everyone. Good. How's everyone doing? Good. Just a few things. First, I'd like to congratulate Seeley on speaking a great word. Who thought last Sunday? Let's give a big round of applause. So, she's not here. She just disappeared. And she's doing the youth class. And I was listening to it on the beach. Sorry, I won't make you jealous, but it was a very good. Remember that every sermon is recorded, and you can download our podcast if you've got an Android or Apple phone. Just put New Horizon AOG Church, and you can subscribe to every sermon so you can listen. Do you know we have people listen? Last time I checked, in Brazil, in Japan, in South America, in Honduras, in Brazil, all around the world, and we thank God. It's great to see Jess Calder here. And if you don't know Jess, came from this church, and she's studying at Bible College and is getting married on the 3rd of August. And the wedding's going to be here. Yeah. Amen. And I've got the privilege of preaching on that day. And Daniel Musto's also with them at Mattersea, because when I was there, it's called Mattersea Meat Market. And, a lot of people get together. And I say that tongue in cheek. But it's great that Jess is here, and we love her. And we're looking forward to your wedding. And she's marrying him a Tottenham fan. So please pray. And I heard that he went to a pre-marriage party last night in Liverpool as a Tottenham fan. And just ignore Chris today, because me and Chris was out last night watching the football. And we was watching the football together, and I said to Chris, you know, you're not going to get violent, are you, if they lose? Because I'm a neutral, because I'm a big Forest fan. And he said, maybe, but I'm glad they won anyway, so good. So this morning I want to continue on the subject I spoke last time. And if you wasn't here last time, don't worry, download the podcast. And so I'm going to talk about leaving the old, embracing the new. Right. Turn to the person next to you. I know some of you don't like to do this, but say, leaving the old, embracing the new. You know, life is about many things, but one thing, if you want to grow in life, is this, is that if you want to embrace anything new, you've got to leave the old. Is that right? Just, can you remember when you was in like the last year of junior school, and you wanted to stay there because at the big school people flush your head down the toilet? Yeah? But you've got to go there. I never saw it happen actually, but hey, it might be just a myth. But to embrace the new, you've got to leave the old. I want to say, if you want to grow in God in your life, you want to get to know God, if you want to achieve anything for God in your life, this is a very deep spiritual principle that you're going to need to understand in your life. Yeah. That to embrace every new thing that God has for your life will sometimes require you to leave something. Yeah. Yes? Because not everything you take into your future, not everything's bad, but not everything's necessary. And if you want the new, you've got to embrace the old. I made people laugh when I talked about this building. You know, people love babies and want new life, but nobody wants to give birth. Is that right? In 2003, I was 23. Anyone 23 in 2003? Just me. I don't know how old you was in 2003. Yeah, Michael was 23, same age as me. In 2003, I was 23, and a new phone company launched, and it was called Three. Yeah. I thought, you know what? It sounds really good, and I'm gonna sign up for this contract with Three, this new company. Yes, that's how old I am, young people. You will never believe it. But I was around before three even existed. And smartphones, in fact, I had a pager when I was 17. Anyone had a pager? Yeah. It felt really important when it went off. That was it. I've been with three. And then I moved a few years ago to Hina. And I had a problem. And the problem was when I moved to Hina, when I looked at my phone, everything was really slow. Yeah, like there's a problem with a signal. One of my favorite hobbies is looking at cars on the Auto Trader. So every time you swiped on a picture, instead of going there, it was there. Have you ever been there? I think, oh my goodness, this is just unbearable. So I said to Becky, I cannot live with this. I'm sorry, I can't live in a house that does this to me. Yes, I haven't got broadband in my house. I won't go there this morning. All our neighbours fainted when I told them that. But anyways, I won't go there. And so I said, I need to sort something out. So I rang them and said, listen, I've been with three and I want to leave. And he says, oh, Mr. I said, I've not got an issue with the finance, even though it's quite a lot, but I'm happy with the data and all the things and I'm happy with my phone. It's just the signal's not great. So straight away, oh, Mr. Dillnott, you've been with us 16, 17 years. Without you, this company wouldn't exist. And we can do you a better deal and we can do this and we can do that. And I said, yes, but the signal's going to be the same unless you build a new mast. And are you going to build one? No, well, I've got to change. And then, as I said, well, I still want to leave. And he said, well, don't go. We've got lots to discuss and I'll put you through to the next person. And then the next person said, oh, Mr. Dillnott, you're so loyal. You've been with us for 16, 17 years. Without you, this company wouldn't exist. We really value you. You are amazing. And we're going to try and do our best to try and keep you and help you and give you a better deal. I said, no, I don't want a better deal. I says, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. I can't live with this situation, so I need to change. Well, Mr. Dillnott, you can't leave. You need your pack code. Is it a pack code or a PAP? A pack code. Well, okay. I want my pack code then. Well, no. Before we give you a pack code, can you speak to somebody else? Yeah. Then I got to speak to somebody else. Oh, Mr. Dillnott, you've been with us 16. I don't want to hear this anymore. I just want to leave. Please let me go. Let it go. No, I don't want to do this anymore. No, and it went again. And I said, no. And he says, oh, well, and they said, well, no, I'll put you to the senior boss. Oh, my goodness me. Hello, Mr. Dillnott. You've been with us 16, 17 years. Without this company, without you, this company wouldn't exist. And now, if you know me, I'm quite plain talking, I can be, because I can be, sometimes a senior pastor has to be quite plain talking. So I had to say, listen, it's not a personal insult against the company, but I can't live with, I can't live with that. So I want my pack code. I want it. Okay, Mr. Dillnott. There's no one else I can put you through to. I am the top. You may proceed and leave. The principle is I actually think, and we've all been there, haven't we? Whether it's gas, electric, phone. And when you move forward in God, in anything you do, you will have to negotiate this, because the enemy will try everything in his armory, church, to keep you where you are. Yes? And I had to wrestle and work hard and be strong. I was on the phone for around 2 hours. Yes? Well, they picked on the wrong guy. Because I'm going to have it out for 2 hours if I need to, because this is not acceptable. Yes. And now I can go home. And I had 2 hours pain, but for 2 hours pain, I have months and months of looking at Ferrari, Lamborghini, Ford Mustang. Oh, yes. Are you with me, church? Because to embrace the new, sometimes we have to leave the old. And leaving the old can be quite challenging. We've got some readings. I'm not going to read all of them because of time. But in Exodus 14, if they're on the screen, Exodus 14, they said to Moses, was it, and this is God's people, that they've left Egypt, okay, like we looked last time. But they said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Wow. Didn't we say in Egypt, leave us alone? Better the devil you know. No, it doesn't say that. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm. And you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And there's times in our life, church, where we have to. To leave the old to embrace the new is to stand firm. Because sometimes you make a God-honoring decision and sometimes all hell breaks loose in your life. Yes? Discouragement comes. The greatest moment in my life can be the most discouraging. Do you know that? Because the devil's very clever. So sometimes you do the right thing and it all kicks off. Yeah? You be honest, you tell the truth, and it gets you more in more trouble than if you would have lied. Hello? Yeah? Yeah? But you have to stand firm. Yeah. Because to embrace the new, you've got to leave the old. Yeah. And then Luke 24, verse 13, now that the same day, and this is different, this is two disciples who were following Jesus now crucified, and they're walking away from God, because they're finding it hard to stand firm. And then in Luke chapter 20, thank you, 24, verse 13. Now, the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. I'm going to explain this point, because we're called New Horizon Church. Yes, we're not called Yesterday's Horizon Church. Yes, like I said. We're not called Same Horizon Church, but we're called New Horizon Church. Yeah. Yes, because God loves new things. I actually think for some of you, it's a prophetic word that you've got to embrace the new. Yes, and you've got to stand firm against the old. You've stepped into something. Maybe it's even about joining this church, and it's all change. But you've got to embrace it. You've got to stand firm. Yeah, and you've got to sometimes. The hardest things in life is to sit, I won't go there, but have those conversations that you know you have to have sometimes. But if you're going to leave well. That's what I've tried to do in everything that I've done. So we're going to look at three things in the time that we've got together, which is good, about leaving the old and embracing the new. So are you glad you came this morning? Yeah, is this good?
Good.
Going to help you in your life? Okay, number one, which I covered last time, but we'll just cover it very quick. We have to be careful because in difficult times, you can go back to what you know. Yeah? That's what the Bible tells us. Yeah? If I had a pound for every person who got saved and got baptized and is now shopping at IKEA or doing what they're doing, they're not following the Lord anymore. Yeah? And it saddens me. Because sometimes when we make a choice and we make a God-honoring choice and we're leaving the old and we're embracing the new, sometimes, you know, when Moses, he stepped out and God asked him to speak to Pharaoh and he spoke to Pharaoh. And so God, speak to Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses goes and makes a God-honoring decision. Let my people go, Pharaoh. And what did Pharaoh say? Oh, yes, of course you can. There you go. He said, how dare you come into my presence? I want to make it 10 times worse for you and your people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's walking back. Hebrews, how did it go, Moses? Celebration party, we're going. No, it's got 10 times worse. We've got to stand firm. Because these Egyptians you see today, there's going to be a time if we stand firm, you will never see these people again. Come on, church, let's give God some praise. Come on. Come on. I love my God. Yeah? You think leaving three is bad. I'm not down on three. If you're with three, praise the Lord. It is how it is. But Pharaoh, Moses had to speak to Pharaoh 9 times. 9 times. Face the most powerful man in the world at that time. 9 times. Let my people go. I will not stop knocking on your door until this happens. Yeah? Oh, give us a bit of that in the church. Amen. Give us a bit of that. We'll see people healed, delivered, saved. Amen. Getting carried away. Because we have to be careful. We don't want to go back to where we came from, yes? We don't want to go back. Like in this story of the, you know, what did Jesus say on the third day? I'm going to rise again. The disciples didn't listen to him probably, did they? Someone like us, and we're just interpreting how we think things would happen. And then Jesus is dead. And the same nets that they let down and followed him, they picked up their old nets again. Yeah? It was symbolic. They was going back to their old job, to what they knew. And sometimes we have to be careful that when we have challenging situations in our life, we start to romanticize about sometimes our old life. Hello? Yeah? Like the grass was greener, but we should know from experience the grass wasn't greener. If you, yes? Because the devil can distort our vision and he can try and distort what we think, and we have to be careful of that because the devil's a great deceiver. So we have to be careful. In challenging times, it can be easy to go back to what we knew, and we've got to stand firm in those points of our lives if we're truly going to embrace the new. God's got new. He's got a new future for some people in this room. He's got a new partner for some people in this room. Yes? He's got a new house for people in this room. He's a new God. Yes? But he can't put new wine skins in an old wine. He can't put new wine in an old wineskin. Yeah, we can't do it. He's got to have new. Got to have a new wineskin. Which I'm going to come on to. How to have a new wineskin life. Because that's challenging. We want to be a new wineskin church. So in difficult times, we've got to be careful. We don't go back to what we know, like the Israelites wanted to do. But thank God, he raised the leader up to say, we're not going back. And in fact, my brother Carl Richards, after doing this, he sent me a study. And thank you, Carl. Love you when he does that. I sometimes preach and he sends me a sermon, what God was speaking to him during the sermon. Fantastic. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And he said, do you know that when the Egyptians left, that an army came in, speak to Carl for more clarification on this, but an army came and annihilated Egypt, people that hated the Hebrews. So if the Israel would have gone back, it would have been different because it's never the same. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they would have been slaughtered by this new nation. Because sometimes going back doesn't solve any answers. Yeah? Because sometimes you can't go back. You've burned all your bridges. Yeah? Sometimes God does it like that. Sometimes we want to go back, but the past is the past. We let it go. We move on. Yeah? Because everything changes. So even if you want to go back, it would have been a disaster. Amen. Okay, point 2. You ready for this? Yeah. New landscapes requires new vision. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to embrace the new. You've got to leave the old, but new things, new landscapes, a new landscape, a new promise, a new destiny, a new future. That's wonderful, but a new future, a new horizon requires new vision. It requires new revelation. I'm not talking about vision as what you see, but as in a revelation. On what? A revelation of God. Yes? You see, the people thought something in this passage. God's people at this time thought something was better, that something or anything was better than nothing. And that was the problem. Because if you know the Lord, hello church, if you know the Lord, that you will know that having nothing with the Lord is far better than having something, because having the Lord, in having the Lord, you have everything you need. Yes? So they thought, oh, we've got nothing here, so let's go back, because something, anything is better than nothing. That they did not realize that having God in their life, they have everything. People can't have nothing these days. If you have nothing, praise the Lord. I'm not diminishing that, but you're in a position for God to bless you. That they'd rather eat the crumbs off the table rather than what Seeley preached, having a banquet. If you only stand firm, you're in a desert, you got to stand firm. God will come through, because he always delivers. But this was the challenge. They had a new horizon, but they did not know the God that was leading them. Because if they knew the God that was leading them, they would have never ever thought of going back and serving and being slaves. Because they would have known the person who was leading them. Do you know God this morning, church? Do you know him? Do you know him? I'm not talking about knowing of him, but do you know him? A lot of you may know my wife or of my wife, but I know my wife. Yeah. Been married last week. Thanks for all of your comments on Facebook. 14 years. Woo. I know her. God wants you to know him. Yeah. See, if we don't know God, we'll never achieve anything for God. And I'll explain this why. If we don't know God, you'll never have new horizons. If you don't know God, you'll never achieve anything faith-filled in your life. See, in life, I don't know about many things today. I'm sure the older I get, the less I know. Anybody with me? I don't know anything about Game of Thrones. Never watched a series in my life, so sorry if you're a fan. I don't know anything about Love Island, even though godly people shouldn't watch Love Island. Sexual immorality. I don't watch it. It's not godly. As the Bible say, don't see any vile thing. I'm not saying, anyway, I won't go there. Because some of them are very attractive and, you know, they've had all work done. But I'm just trying to say it's not godly. We don't go there. I don't know anything about, I'm not against all these things, so don't, but I am a bit against Love Island. Just calling it out there. Yeah. I have to be, the Bible calls us to guard our eyes. Yeah. Certain things I turn off. Yeah. Do we still live in this day? Because I do. Because I know God. And it hurts him. Depletes me of power. I'm not perfect. Please don't misunderstand that. I don't know anything about Call of Duty. Never played it in my life. I don't know anything about Spotify. I thought you had Clearasil for that, but maybe not. I don't know anything about this new 5G. I'm sure all the office will be talking about it on Friday, but I don't know anything about it. I know Honey G, but I know anything about this 5G. You see, there's lots that I don't know, okay? There's lots that I don't know. But there's one thing I do know, church, is that I know God. I know God. I know my God. It's the greatest thing I bring to this organization. If we don't know God, all this lovely screen, this is meaningless, church. We're not going to help anybody if we don't know God. I want to know God. Yeah. You see, people in this story didn't know God, yet they was being led by God. Yeah. A godly leader with an unbelieving congregation. Oh my goodness, you got issue after issue after issue. A godly leader with godly people. Wow, we're going to make some progress. Yes. Do we know God, church? God help us when the church knows, can name more characters out of Love Island than out of the Bible. God help us, church. God help us when we know more, and I'm not having a go at Game of Thrones. I hear it's a good program, but I know this. God help us when the church knows more about Game of Thrones than about the Book of Thrones. And about the throne that's going to change your life. God help us when we know more about 5G than the big G who holds your life in his hands. Come on, I'm preaching this morning. Woo. Amen. No Honey G, but the big G. Amen.
He's in the house.
Yeah.
Come on.
Preaching. Amen. Right, my watch has stopped. Wow, I'm saying it's half past. I think I'm ages. Anyway. Okay. New landscapes, new revelation. How do we get to know God? Okay, you ready? Because we've got to know God and listen to what God's saying. If we hear the word of God and apply it to our lives, we get revelation. Hear this, this is not a criticism. I've spent many time following people who knew the Bible back, front to cover, back to front, front to back. They didn't know God. Because you can know the Bible, you've got to be careful, but you don't know God. Because it's only when you put the Bible into practice do you get a revelation and understand who God is. Are you with me, church? And some of you may have been following those people. Say, just be wise in that area. It's amazing Celie preached this last Sunday from this, but I was really impressed on my heart by God to share how do we know God, and there's a million ways, but I want to just read Psalm 23, and I think it's going to be important for your life. God says, Andy, right now my people need to know this. So I'm going to share it. You see, if God's people would have known what I'm going to share with you, they would have embraced the new and left the old. Yeah. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. Right now, how does that affect your life? In a world which a little bit is going crazy, I want to remind you, church, that the Lord is my shepherd. I make it into 21st language. The Lord is my protector. The Lord is my defender. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is my leader. The Lord is my teacher. You know, it's a hymn that we sometimes sing at funerals. But David, who was a leader of a nation, one of the most anointed men that's ever lived. And what do you get when you're very anointed? You get a lot of attacks. Yeah? What's an apprentice anointed leader's job? Dodging spears. Read your Bible. and encourage you to read that story. But he knew, church, the Lord. Whatever's going off in my world right now, the Lord is my shepherd. Not just your wife's your shepherd, or your husband, or your partner. Your mum's not just your shepherd. Your dad's not just your shepherd. Your teacher's not just your shepherd. Your pastor's not just your shepherd. Your youth leader's not just your shepherd. Your life group leader's not just your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Oh, come on. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Him. I want you to fill you with peace this morning. I'd struggle in life. I didn't know that the Lord was not my shepherd. If I knew that he wasn't my shepherd, I would be quaking, but the Lord's my shepherd. I lack nothing. What does that mean, church? There is nothing that I cannot do. And if I have the Lord, everything is going to be okay. Yeah? He makes me lie down. Are you listening, church? He makes me lie down in green pastures. What does that mean? God will lead your life to a good place. Hello? Some of you right now, you may be in a bad place. But I want to say, he leads me beside... He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's going to lead your life to a good place. If you have nowhere to lay your head and you have God, God's working on it. I can sleep because when I do, God has everything in control. He leads me beside quiet waters. When my life gets crazy, if I stay with God, he will make sense of my life and will make it right. He refreshes my soul when I am upset, exhausted, stressed out, panicking, freaking out. He will touch my inner being. He will touch my inner being and things will get better. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. When I don't know where to go, what to do, or who to be with, he will help me. He's more knowing and more powerful than Google and Siri. And he sees my life from the beginning to the end, to the end, to the beginning. All I need is the Lord to have a great life. Come on, church. Let's give God some praise right now. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even when my heart is broken, full of anguish and pain, you, God, are always there. You're always there. When I am in a mountain of debt, struggling with addiction, suffering in illness, feeling abandoned, rejected, persecuted, discouraged, battered, bruised, finished at the end of my rope, when the last straw breaks the camel's back, you will be there by my side, closer than a brother. Because even though I walk through the valley, you will be there. For I fear no evil. The devil and all of his dominions have no power over me. I want my PAC code. Yes? Jesus on the cross stole my PAC code from you. And if I have my PAC code, I can do what I want. Woo! Not in God, I mean. Yeah. The devil in his vineyard had no power over me. I can break the power of a past life and even occult practices. I have no more nightmares about the past Ouija board experiences. And the power of the living God will flood my heart and change my inner person. Amen. I'm coming to a close. For you are with me. I am never alone. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If anyone messes with me, you will put your smack down. You have my back in all situations. And when you move, no one can hold you back. You say vengeance is mine. Therefore, I don't need to stress about plotting revenge, because your vengeance will be 10 times worse than my puny revenge. You prepare a table before me. In difficult times, you will supply what I need to get through it. And when I have more month than money, you will see me. In the presence of my enemies, the power of God that is with me far outweighs the power of all my enemies. God, you will always have the last say. You anoint my head with oil. I can walk with my head held high in praise. Because there is nothing, absolutely nothing that I cannot do with your help. My cup overflows. My cup overflows. One day my God will turn up. And when he turns up, watch out. Because when he does, it will be off the charts. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. In a world of evil, pain, and trouble, my spirit can be still about the future. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day I will see you face to face. And I will see the scars on your body, and I will worship you. No one can steal this from me, because it is secure for all eternity. This is our God, church. Come on, let's give God some praise. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to come to a close. You see, leaving the old, embracing the new. We got to know God, church. Do you know the Lord? Maybe you've been walking for a long time. I became a Christian at 16. I started following the Lord. On 14 September, I love following the Lord. He's awesome. He's awesome. And right now, maybe you follow God, and maybe it's difficult. Maybe it's challenging. Maybe you're in a desert. God just wants to say, stand firm. Know me. Maybe this year you've got to say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you more in my life. The Bible says you might feel entangled today. You're entangled, or you still associate with something that you know is not good for you. The Bible says we've got to throw off. Yeah? I love that word throw. Not just throw off everything that entangles us and hinders us regarding the old. Maybe this morning God's saying you got to throw it off, whatever that looks like to you. And the sin that so easily entangles us, we got to throw it off. Before God gives you something, before you get a new jacket, right? Yeah? Right? Before you get a new jacket, it says throw. So you got to be like, oh, there you go. No, it's got to throw it. Yeah? That was a rubbish throw, I'm sorry. But you got to throw it off. Yeah? Action, throw it off. You can't just place something down. Do you need to throw something off that's from the old life that's hindering you? Did you move forward and then did you go back? God's gracious. He's brought you here. Are you walking in the wrong direction right now, and you've come to church, and you know you sat here and everyone's praising, but in your heart you're like, there's Jesus, see ya. Yeah? You walk into Emmaus and God says, no, come on, stand firm. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. God's gracious. You've got to stop. You've got to start walking the right direction. Are you worshiping a golden calf? Because you don't know God, you're trying to make, you're following God, but you don't know him, so you're trying to make other stuff to make your life work. Well, I'll have a bit of God, and I'll have a bit of Buddha, and I'll have a bit of this, and I'll have a bit of that, and no, come on. Because if you're following God and you don't know him, you will make a golden calf. But that's a different subject for another time. Do you need to keep trusting God even in the desert? Do you need to make new habits? Do you need to know the Lord? If you say yes to any one of them, I just want right now, bow your heads. If you say yes to any of those things, just raise your hand right now. We're going to pray. If you're, yeah, God, that's for me. Did anyone, yeah, that's for me. Thank you. Right now. Say, God, come on. Say, God, I want to embrace the new. I want to come back to you. Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every single person in this room. I believe that it's a new day for some people. It's a new day for us as a church. Lord, I just pray that as they enter everything that you have for them, that they would have a new revelation right now and a new vision, because new landscapes require new vision, new revelation of knowing you, that they would know you, that would strengthen them, fill them with faith, fill them with peace, that you are our shepherd. And Lord, I just pray right now, if people need to throw off things, Lord, I pray right now in the heavenly realms that people will be throwing off stuff. Lord, I just pray for a release of any pain or regret. Lord, I pray a release, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would come and that your Holy Spirit would work. Because to embrace the new, you've got to leave the old. Come on, church, push through the old right now. Push through it. Say, God, I'm believing for a better day. I'm standing firm. Nothing with you is far better than anything in the world. And today I'm choosing that, because if I have you, I have everything, everything I need. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.